This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
What up, Poddington the Bears? I'm your co-host, Ben.
And I'm your really embarrassed co-host, Mandy.
And today we're going to be talking about the life and deaths of Jason Voorhees.
I don't know why he's saying deaths. He only died once. He's just been hurt many, many times. Anywho, so we all know who Jason Voorhees is. He's this crazy, psychotic, really kind of a sad story, I guess, if you think about it. But he is a serial killer who lived in the woods for a very long time. His early life, he was born in the small town of Crystal Lake on June 13th, 1969, to Elias Voorhees and Pamela Voorhees. He was afflicted with severe facial deformities. He had hydrocephalus, which is an abnormally large head, and he had some mental disabilities too. So his mom actually raised him on her own because daddy ran out when Jason was born. I guess he couldn't deal with the medical conditions and that type of thing. He's just basically a douchebag for the most part. Because of all of Jason's problems, his mom kind of kept him isolated from the community. She didn't let him attend school. She educated him in their home on the outskirts of Crystal Lake. And due to his mental deficiency, his education obviously was quite limited. But he learned never to question mother. So he's definitely a mama's boy, which being isolated like that, I can kind of understand the reasons he did the things he did later in life for the most part.
Yeah, this is our second straight mama's boy.
Oh, yeah, we had Norman Bates. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, and wasn't he homeschooled for a bit, too?
Oh, yeah, mommy didn't let him out of her sight either.
We're seeing some similarities here. If you're homeschooled and a mama's boy, watch out, world.
Maybe don't go to camp. maybe the takeaway from this one today. All right, so obviously he pretty much does whatever his mom asks him to do. I think in his head, he probably, because, I mean, obviously nobody was able to interview him due to him being a hermit and dying, basically. But he, I would assume, understood that he wasn't going to have the best life, and it definitely wasn't going to be very good without mommy's guidance. He had this extreme obedience towards his mom, and after puberty, it kind of went a little bit rampagey. Kind of. I don't think like to the point of Norman Bates, but he definitely, it was just off. So, in 1980, Pamela was hired by Mr. and Mrs. Christie as a cook for their summer camp. Having no relatives to board Jason, she couldn't afford a nanny, so she took him to the camp with her. So they lived on, you know, the outskirts of the lake, because this place actually is very, very big. It's a huge lake with a lot of different properties and stuff like that. And the camp just occupied one small little area of it. Jason had been with his mom most of the time instead of with the other kids, leading them, you know, to think he wasn't very smart. And because of his deformities and things like that, they, of course, started bullying him because kids suck. While being bullied by the other campers, Jason attempted to escape from them, but they caught up to him on the dock and threw him into the lake where he presumably drowned. His last words were for his mother, then for anyone in earshot to help him. And the counselors were supposed to be on the lookout for this type of crazy ass behavior, but They were too busy having sex and not paying attention to their campers. So,
I like the way it's worded in the doc. They were distracted by casual sex. Yes, casual sex can be distracting people. So don't do it while you're driving and during other activities that require your full attention.
basically, when there's a small, defenseless boy being drowned in a lake because he can't swim, and the other campers were jerks. So they were never able to find his body. Now the Christies ordered the camp closed, and the police combed the lake, but they couldn't find him. Interrogation of the counselors led the authorities to conclude Jason's death was accidental, and no one was charged with his death. Go figure. I don't know how it could be accidental when, counselors aren't doing their damn
Yeah,
jobs.
so what are you thinking, like manslaughter?
I would say at least manslaughter. Definitely neglect.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think what actual like crimes you could put to it. I mean,
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
certainly there is criminal neglect if you're a parent or caregiver, and at the point of being a camp counselor, I would assume that you're like temporary guardianship at that moment.
Yeah, that and, I think the kids who threw him into the damn lake should have been brought up on charges. They
Yeah.
had their asses thrown in juvenile detention.
Yeah, that's fair.
So in 1981, the camp opened on schedule, and Pamela, who actually still worked there, she was obviously grieving and crazy out of her mind. She murdered Barry Jackson and Claudette Hayes, who were the counselors she blamed for Jason's drowning, which I can understand her mindset on that, not necessarily going vigilante, but well, I don't know. If I could get away with it, I might be a vigilante. But anyway, for some reason, Pamela was never suspected of the murders, but unlike Jason's drowning, autopsies of the two teenagers clearly showed they died as a result of homicide, and the camp was closed yet again. Now, the Christies reopened the camp in 1985, but discovery of arsenic in the water on camp property caused the summer season to be canceled, which I'm glad they canceled it because, who wants to swim around in arsenic? That probably would not be much
I mean,
fun.
it's not fun.
I'm not even sure how arsenic could, unless people were illegally dumping stuff?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either.
That
That's
probably
kind
needs
of
some investigation.
arsenic. Isn't that the stuff they put in rat poison?
Maybe. I'm not good with that kind of stuff, but that sounds possible.
You don't know about all these chemicals that can kill you? What?
I
Okay.
mean, arsenic, I
Well,
just think
everybody knew that.
this is what my view of arsenic is. Not normally found in swimming water. Right? So like it's just shouldn't have been there. So I'm thinking I don't know what put it there, right?
Oh my gosh. So yeah, so they canceled camp for 1985. Now throughout the 80s and the 90s, there were random fires on the property, and the fire department couldn't come up with a plausible reason. It wasn't ever proven, but it was strongly suggested that Pamela lived close to the camp and had engaged in these acts of sabotage in order to ensure that the camp remained unattended and that no child suffered the same fate as Jason. So, I mean, she's looking out for all the other kids, I guess. So,
I mean, by dumping arsenic in the water,
well, I mean, we
possibly.
don't know that she did that, but she supposedly may have started these fires. I don't
Yeah.
know. So, all of these tragedies led the abandoned camp to be nicknamed Camp Blood by the locals who came to believe the area was cursed. Now, if you're a local, you didn't go to the place. You just stayed the hell away. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm sure there are teenagers who went in there. Of course, a lot of them didn't come out alive, hence, the nickname Camp Blood and the quote unquote curse.
You gotta really hate your kids to send them here at this point.
Pretty much. Well, unless you don't know about the place. I mean,
Yeah, they
you
did.
know, you
I
could.
hear over the years they did a certain amount of quality rebranding.
Yeah, they would have to. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so Jason now. Let's talk about a little about Jason. So obviously he struggled in the lake, but for some miraculous reason he didn't drown. He managed to make it to land safely. And with his mental difficulties, he didn't have any idea how to get help. I'm assuming he pretty much decided his only action was to wait for his mom to find him. So he either built a home or managed to occupy an abandoned shanty in the woods. And then, of course, once the camp had been closed down for quite some time, he managed to, pretty much live in the abandoned buildings and things like that. During the years, Pamela never found out where he was, nor did they ever see each other again, unfortunately, until her death. Presumably, Jason came to believe that his mom had died and he was on his own. He managed to live off the land, subsisting on things like edible plants in the forest around Crystal Lake, or, hunting small animals, pilfering food where he could. And then, like I said, he made use of the abandoned summer camp to strip it for makeshift goods. He limited trips he would take into civilization to procure supplies. And by civilization, I'm talking like nearby
The county
farms, not
store.
like going to the store or anything like that, because
Or if it
obviously he
was
didn't
a
have
store,
money.
it's like one of those little stores attached to a gas station where that's like the only thing in town.
Yeah, something like that. But, we talk about homeschooling. So, I mean, obviously, she gave him the tools to be able to survive in the wilderness. So, I mean, that's, in my opinion, with his situation, better than book schooling.
I
Better than
mean,
that book knowledge.
okay, if you are a random child that almost drowns, manages to make your way to shore, and then has to survive by yourself in a little shack in the woods for eternity, then yes, that's better than actual learning.
Yeah, I mean, how much do we really use the shit we learned in school
No, I'm with
anyway?
you on that. I'm
Except for
just
like
saying that his
addition and subtraction.
circumstances were like bizarre. It wasn't like she could have ever predicted this is what he would need.
Well, true, but I mean, it was just Jason and her, the whole time, so maybe she was wanting to make sure that after she died, he'd know how to live.
That's probably true. She probably was teaching him survival skills the whole way through.
That, or maybe when he got older, then she wouldn't have to worry about chopping firewood and going out to get dinner. She'd, Jason, go
That
on,
man's got a
son.
strong back.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, he achieved independence from his mom and survived on his own as a full grown man. I can talk today. Obviously, with no social skills or anything like that. So, Steve and Christy, the son of Camp Crystal Lake founders David and Louise Christy, tried to reopen the camp
Course he did.
in, yeah, exactly. In 2001, he put $25,000 down, hiring various carpenters, electricians, masons, plumbers, to go to the Camp Crystal Lake property and renovate it. And he also hired several teenagers from out of town to assist him in the refurbishment, with a deadline that by the time of summer of 2002 came to be, the camp would be open again for business. He went into urban areas and made contact with community centers, offering, lower class inner city families a chance for their kids to be able to enjoy the camp for a summer. Of course, Pamela was absolutely enraged by Steve's actions. So she murdered him and pretty much all of his employees, with the only surviving person being Alice Hardy. Ultimately, Alice struck back and she decapitated Pamela with a machete, after they had fought a little bit on the lake shore. After killing Pamela, Alice collapsed from exhaustion and stress into a canoe and fell asleep as it, kind of drifted out into the lake. And The following Saturday morning, police cars came onto the camp property to investigate the murders, only for Alice herself to be pulled into the water by a revenant form, revenant meaning ghost, of Jason's prepubescent self. Alice, she nearly drowned, but this was in fact due to the capsizing of the canoe. And when she woke up, she was in the hospital bed, and she was greeted by Sergeant Tierney, who said that they found the corpses on the property and that Officer Dorf and another of his men rescued her from drowning. Alice was admitted to the hospital and treated for hypothermia. And when she asked about Jason, Tierney chalks it up to hallucination from her recent ordeal and replies that they didn't find any boy, causing Alice to remark that, Jason's still out there. So, she's. I don't know what she saw on the thing. I think she probably just freaked out from the trauma that she had been through and is kind of, she's kind of just lost her mind, I think. I
I
think she
mean,
tripped out and.
I think Jason was going for a swim.
Oh, really? Even though he can't swim?
I mean,
I don't know. Maybe he taught himself how to swim over the
he taught
years.
himself how to swim from where he was drowning to the edge of the lake.
Well, that's true. That's true, because he didn't drown. Obviously, it wasn't him, because had it been him, that chick would be dead. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So, again, he's living among the dilapidated cabins of Camp Crystal Lake, and there's actually a mine system that runs below the area. So, he uses that as well, and he steals what he needs from nearby residences and covers his deformed face with like this old burlap type sack. He also constructed this crazy looking jacket by cutting off the top of a hunting jacket and sewing it over the top of a military jacket. So, mama taught him how to sew too. That's pretty good. I can't even do that, at least not well.
He's got big fingers too, so it's like that'd be hard.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Well, he was a big guy. I guess he got to the point where he was tired of people coming into his domain because he began killing anyone who trespassed on his territory. Often putting the bodies of his victims, disposing it somewhere where they wouldn't be found, making it, just look like these people had disappeared, like they hadn't been killed or anything. I'm assuming to keep cops and stuff like that from coming into his camp. Because he's a local legend. He's one of those, urban legends of the area, but cops still don't seem to come into the camp, which I don't know. It's weird because like if you have missing people, you would think that they would go to the camp looking for them or looking for clues or something. So he either is a very good hider or just didn't feel the need to kill the cops, which kind of weird since he killed everybody else that came in there. But I don't know. Maybe the cops just like, you know what? Fuck it. Leave them alone. The kids obviously didn't go to the camp. They're just hiking somewhere else. They ran off with their boyfriends, whatever. I'm not sure how they managed to stay away as long as they did. So they actually, like I was saying, they kind of did become aware of Jason and avoided the campgrounds, believing that if they left him alone, he would do likewise. Which I can understand that because previously he didn't really have any hostility prior to the arrival of a bunch of trespassing kids. So by the way, Jason watched his mom being beheaded because he was in the brush and he saw the whole thing happen. So, after his mom's murder spree and after he witnessed her death, he grabbed her sweater, her pants, her severed head, and the machete that killed her and returned to his shack with them. He placed the objects on this crude altar he had like constructed as a shrine to his mom. 2 months after Pamela's death, he left the woods and entered the town in search of his mother's killer. This is what's weird. First of all, he was able to track Alice down to her apartment. He snuck inside,
So
stabbed her in.
his like limited intelligence is like still pretty good.
He's what I don't understand is how he got into town at all. I mean, yeah, it's a podunk town, but I think you would, notice this big ass man walking around with a burlap sack over his head. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah, and if he removed it, I mean, He was
would
disfigured, so
obviously
he.
stand out, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, maybe he's just that stealth.
I mean,
I
I think he is. I think he's kind of like the elusive Bigfoot.
don't know. Except he's a real man and not a spirit like Bigfoot is.
I think Bigfoot's a spirit too. It's interesting you said that.
Yeah, he's I would consider him what I call an elemental.
Yeah.
Because people have seen him, but they've
Yes,
never seen
definitely
bodies.
real, but you're not gonna ever find a body because they don't exist.
Right.
Bodies don't exist.
Like Loch
Bigfoots
Ness.
do. Yeah.
Same thing.
A Loch Ness is totally a dinosaur. Anyways.
Again, no bodies have been found.
Yeah, but that
So.
lake is like dense and dark, and they will. If they drained it, they would find a million.
Oh, okay. Whatever you say. Didn't Rick say it was like 26 miles long or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, back to Jason. So he tracked Alice down to her apartment. He snuck inside, stabbed her in the head with an ice pick after scaring her by placing his mother's head in her refrigerator. Big guy, burlap sack over his head, carrying his fucking severed head. Nobody saw him. I don't buy it, but whatever. So he took Alice's body and placed it at the foot of his mother's shrine. It doesn't say anything about, well, he had to have taken her head back with him too, because that was also found eventually, which is just crazy. So 3 years after killing Alice, he discovered a local teenager named Chris Higgins in the wood, and he attacked her with a knife, knocking her out in the struggle. Don't know what happened next, but Chris woke up at home with no idea how she got there. I don't understand that.
That's interesting.
Because I doubt Jason would have taken the
Taking
time
her
to
home,
take
right?
her home with.
Maybe he got like scared off or something. And
Yeah, but does he get scared?
he does. That's the thing is,
Mm.
you wouldn't think he got scared. And if he got scared off, whoever like rescued her would have probably alerted the police and she would know how she got there.
You would think, unless she was just so traumatized by his appearance and being attacked by a knife in the wood that she managed to get home. It's kind of like when you're driving and you totally zone out and then you don't realize you've just driven 26 miles and have absolutely no clue how you got there.
Yeah.
I did that the other day. It was weird. So, I mean,
Yeah.
I guess that's possible.
Yeah, I actually started driving one day and then I spaced out and I had left Kentucky and then I was in California. I was like, I don't know how I got here.
You're stupid. Whatever. That's like a several day blackout period,
Yeah,
Rick.
there
You
was
could
some
have
hotel
killed
room.
people, you never know. All right, so let's jump to 2008, where a group of young people led by this guy named Wade hiked to Camp Crystal Lake. After they set off camp, he went into the woods to urinate.
Ooh, never pee there.
Never pee in the woods, yeah. Him and his buddy had actually kind of tricked their friends into going out there with them because they apparently there was some kind of huge marijuana crop growing out there. So that was a real reason Wade and his buddy went out there. But, it was under the guise of, oh, let's go have a fun camping trip, which also kind of happened to be right by where Camp Crystal Lake was.
Yeah, I gotta say, over the years, like Camp Crystal Lake, they the local papers and like news and they were really good at kind of like forgetting this stuff ever occurred. 'Cause I think that different generations actually went there thinking this is all myth, right? Like no one
Yeah, it
really
became an
knew
urban
that these
legend.
were like factual stories.
Well, I mean, I think people knew that the shit had happened, like people have been killed there, but I mean, it's like any other thing that turns into urban legend, it usually started from somewhere.
Right.
So this actually, the killings were real, but Camp Blood obviously became one of those places that people would go to because, they had that, they wanted that thrill experience, either be it ghost hunting or just checking out a place where people had been murdered, things like that.
Right.
I would
Yeah,
have
I mean,
gone
yeah, you're
there.
right. They probably knew there was some truth to it, but the extent of it all. The fact that if you even go there, you're in severe danger. I don't think anyone thought that was real.
And also the information that I've got for this particular case came from two eyewitnesses, Clay and Whitney, and I'll talk about them in a little bit, and also from different police reports over the years, kind of, vaguely going over the shit that had happened. But the weird thing is that this particular group of friends, they didn't seem to know anything about Camp Crystal Lake. I think Wade is actually the one who had told them the story or whatever, and a couple of them went to go check out the cabins. So, of course, I think Wade was like the fifth wheel, so he wasn't there with anybody. So you have Richie and Amanda who are together, and then you have Whitney and Mike, which is her boyfriend, together. So Whitney and Mike kind of break off and do their own thing. Wade goes off into the woods to go urinate or whatever, while Richie and Amanda are doing their thing in the tent, whatever. Wade gets killed because he's right in Jason's backyard, and Jason just happened to be out walking around when Wade was out there. Well, Jason killed him with his machete, but he chopped his ear off first, because that's a necessity. And then killed him with the machete completely. Apparently,
Do you think
he.
that Jason was being like biblical when he cut off the ear? Like when
Why?
the soldier cuts off or I'm sorry, when Peter cuts off the ear of the soldier when they're trying to capture Jesus?
I don't think Pamela was religious, so I'm going to go with no on that one.
Copy.
But you never know. You never know. It's not like either one of them gave interviews or anything. This is why Jason is why he is. No, no idea. No idea. But apparently, Jason's kind of a voyeur because, from what I understand, he went and kind of spied on Richie and Amanda, who were having sex in their tent.
That naughty boy.
For some reason, Richie left the tent for whatever reason. I'm assuming Jason probably lured him out by making noises, which I'm sure he and Amanda thought was Wade, being creepy, which obviously was not the case because Wade's dead at this point with no ear, but dead nonetheless. So once Richie left the tent, he attacked Amanda, grabbed her out of the tent. He didn't go in the front way, of course. He slashed the back open with a machete and drug her out, because God forbid he go in the normal way. But he ended up putting her inside her sleeping bag and dangled her upside down from a tree right over the campfire. So basically, she burned to death inside a sleeping bag. Richie got caught by a bear trap, so he was stuck, couldn't do anything to help Amanda. Whitney was close by. She kind of saw everything. Which is how we kind of got how, they ended up, how they ended up. So with Richie being caught in the bear trap, he was there for a long time. I don't know if you know anything about bear traps, but they're
Painful?
very difficult to open.
Well, yeah, that too. They're super hard clamps.
Yeah, so
But
his leg is completely stuck and he can't do
yeah, I
anything.
assume the bone's crushed. It's
I mean, it's
ugh.
a wonder it didn't take his leg completely off because, I mean, those bear traps are no joke.
I mean, they're made to catch a bear.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
Oh, Jesus.
they're pretty self-explanatory, really. It's
Yeah,
a bear
really.
trap. I mean, of course it could catch a dude.
All right. So Whitney's kind of off in the corner and she watched this whole thing happen. When she saw Jason kind of emerge, she took off running back towards the cabin where Mike was. I don't know why she wandered off by herself, but she did. It was actually, they had been in his mom's house. So he attacked Whitney and her boyfriend, Mike. He was actually, it was weird the way he did it because he went into a tunnel beneath the house. And he actually began shoving his machete up through the floorboards. He injured Mike, who he drags into the tunnels through a trapdoor and finishes him off. Whitney apparently had jumped into the bathtub to keep from being stabbed.
That's smart.
It was. So she actually ended up running back to the campsite where Richie was still in horrible pain, caught in this bear trap. So she's trying to help him get out. Well, Jason comes up behind him and pretty much almost chops his head in half with his machete. So, yeah, he, from what her account said, after he tore the machete out of Richie's head, he went to kill her with it, but then he kind of stops. Apparently, she looks just like Pamela when Pamela was younger. So instead of killing her, he took her back to his lair, which was basically just underneath the tunnels and everything. He shackled her to the wall and he gave her his mother's locket, which had a picture of her and, Pamela when she was younger inside of it. He disposed of all of Whitney's friends. No trace was found of them, which, stumped the authorities because, obviously their parents and everything had been looking for him. And Whitney's brother, Clay, he never stopped looking for him. And this is about, let's see, about 6 weeks after Whitney was abducted, Jason went to this farm where he had been taking kerosene for, I guess, like the lights and stuff were operated by kerosene or something. But, because he used the lights at the camp, which is weird to me too, because you would think people would see those on, but I guess not. I guess the lake's just that big.
Yeah.
But he came, he came in contact with Donnie, who was an employee of the farm. Well, Jason attacked him, and in the struggle, I think Donnie had pulled his sack off, and he, well, Donnie got his throat slashed. Let's just not beat around the bush. He got a slow thrash with his machete. And after killing Donnie,
Oh,
he,
his sack off his head.
yeah, his sock
I'm
off his head
sitting
in
there
cursive.
for a momentous amount of time thinking about this dude's testicles. Thank you for
Oh, God. No, Donnie
that.
ripped the sack off of his
Copy
head.
that.
Oh, Lord. But after he killed Donnie, he apparently found, excuse me, this hockey mask, which I guess he liked more because that's what he continued to wear. So he had this crazy looking hockey mask running around the damn forest, which I'd say is probably better than the burlap sack because I'm sure he could breathe a lot better
Yeah, it's probably better for
with the hockey
visibility
mask
too.
on. Yeah. Oh, gosh. So yeah, he took the mask and wore it ever since. He returned back to Crystal Lake, continued living his life,
Living his best life.
living his best life with Whitney trapped in the damn tunnels. I'm assuming he fed her because,
What I was just gonna say. You know
couple
this dude
months.
is feeding her like raw
Squirrel.
squirrel and like dead rat. Like, this is not gonna be, there's no way this was like a good
Well,
eating experience for her.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure his mom, taught him how to hunt and to prepare food. So I'm thinking maybe he's not eating raw animals.
I mean, have you
So,
seen him? He ate raw
well,
animals.
I've seen pictures, but we don't know. But obviously
We
she ate
don't.
it because she
Maybe
didn't die of
he's going to the
starvation.
local Wendy's and just like ripping off burgers every day for her. I don't know.
He could have, you
Maybe
never know. I mean, Wendy's does close, so it's not like he can't get in, I guess. I
the
prefer
sheep's
that
eating
to the
rats.
alternative of her eating raw anything. So, but hey, she ate whatever it was because she didn't die. So,
I mean, that dude, look, if you get abducted, you're already terrified. I would assume I've never been abducted. I'll just throw that out there. But you get abducted, you're already terrified. But if the
yeah.
person looks like a relatively normal person and they try to give you a rat, you resist. If someone that looks like Jason Voorhees gives you a rat, you eat the fucking rat.
Yeah, because I think this dude is like 6'5" and probably 300 pounds, and wearing a
And he's
fucking
either coming
mask
at
over
you
his
with a
face,
mask or his
his
distorted
big ass
face.
machete.
And a
Yeah, I probably
machete.
would eat a rat if you put it in front of me. Like,
He's walking around with like
cheers.
severed heads and shit, right? Like, you're gonna eat the rat.
Yeah. So maybe she did. I don't know. She never. I don't know. Maybe we can get in contact with her somehow and ask her what she ate while she was in captivity because she's still alive, her and her brother both. So I told you this lake was big to begin with, and there's like different properties, around the lake. So, of course, people have their lake houses and things like that. So, a group of friends college students went to this guy named Trent Sutton's family's house. Nolan and Chelsea were two of the people. They went to go water ski on the lake. And Jason, who had to be an incredible marksman, killed Nolan while he was driving Trent's boat by shooting him in the head with a fucking bow and arrow. Boat's moving on the water fast, obviously. Jason's on the shoreline, kills him with a bow and arrow that goes directly through the back of his head, right out the front.
That's
Well, actually,
crazy.
not out totally because it was still lodged in his head, but that is a master marksman. So this dude.
Yeah. Well, we know he had powerful arms, right? So he's got the strength to do this, but the amount of accuracy, I would say, would have to have come from, at this point, decades of hunting in the woods, right?
I mean, I would assume because he doesn't have a gun, as far as I know. So he, God, he must have been just an incredible shot. Because I mean, I don't even think a stroke of luck could have landed him that shot. He had to have some master skills, which I guess if he'd been bow hunting his whole life, I guess, you'd be able to hit a mark like that. I couldn't do that, and I'm a great shot. Well, not with a bow, but with a gun. But I'm not sure I could even do that. That's like sniper
Yeah.
quality. So Mrs. Voorhees, she must have been pretty damn good teacher, because or Jason's just a really good student, one or the
Yeah.
other. So okay, Nolan's dead. Chelsea kind of gets knocked out a little bit, just enough to not really be knocked out because the boat came and hit her because Nolan wasn't controlling it any longer. So she actually swims over to where this dock was, and she went underneath the dock. Well, Jason, saw where she was and ended up walking on top of the dock, taking the machete and like slamming it down, and it pierced the top of her skull. She's dead now. So, which I don't know, maybe he was hunting or something, because he's not super close to where the camp is. I mean, he's not totally far from it, but a few miles at least. So I
Yeah,
don't know
not
what he
as
was
normal
doing.
terrain.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. But he
Maybe
ended
at this
up.
point he's got bloodlust, right? Like he's at first he's just killing people that wander into his grounds, but there is a bloodlust thing that occurs with serial killers a lot of times, and maybe now he needs to go find somebody to kill because no one's coming over.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he has the bloodlust. I think he's just fucking, killing people who just get in his way or get on his property. Like the Donnie guy, I mean, that wasn't Jason's territory, quote unquote, but it was where Jason
That's his
stole his
supplies.
kerosene. So maybe in some weird way, he's like, okay, well, this guy's on my property,
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Jason has like boundaries in his mind of like what's his and what's not his. It's kind of like if he's there, it's his.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that's probably how it is. Like he thinks if you're in the woods along Crystal Lake that this is all mine, you shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Because I
I
mean,
don't know.
what?
I just had a weird
Oh
meme-like thing pop up in my head where
God.
he like unfolds like the like actual like territory boundaries of his property, and he sees that the person he's about to kill is stepped 1 foot past those boundaries, and he just kind of gives him a thumbs up and walks away.
Oh God. I'm not sure he would do that, but it's fun to imagine. So Clay, Whitney's brother at this point, he's been walking around the town, walking around the area, passing out flyers because he's trying to find his sister. He doesn't believe that his sister ran off with her boyfriend to God knows wherever because their mom apparently was sick, and I guess
She
she
would
ended up
remember that.
dying while Whitney was missing. So Clay's like, there's no way my sister would not attend her funeral. So he's out there looking. Nightfall came, so he's killed this guy named Donnie. He's killed Nolan. He's killed Chelsea. He went back to the camp, but he was carrying Donnie's body, which Clay and this girl named Jenna, who was Trent's girlfriend, from what I understand, Trent Sutton, the guy who owned the cabin that the kids were partying in or whatever. They both witnessed him carrying this body. And of course, because, it's a forest and there's lots of leaves and shit, Clay made some noise and Jason, heard it and, he turned on the camp lights, which is what I'm assuming maybe ran by kerosene because I don't think there was electricity running out to there. But I mean, I could be wrong. But he turned on these big ass camp lights and was trying to find them. He was like knocking over canoes and things like that. And he finally gave up and continued to take Donnie's body down to the tunnels, like back to, his lair. He also had taken Clay's backpack, which he found on the campgrounds. He took that for some reason to where he had Whitney captive. So he put the bag down by Whitney for some reason and went off to do whatever he was doing. He had this, like, from her point of view, he had this, like, flashback to his mom's death, which made him throw a temper tantrum, like, literally. And he began, like, thrashing around and, kind of almost attacking Whitney before Whitney was able to soothe him by saying his name and showing him his mother's locket. So I'm assuming Whitney kind of, put two and two together. So after he was calmed down, he left and Whitney was by herself again. And then for some reason, he went back to Trent's house and he's kind of just lurking or whatever. Trent and Bree, another girl, were in there along with a guy named Chewy and this other guy named Lawrence. Chewy, for whatever reason, had gone out to the tool shed, which was a little ways down from the house where Mr. Jason was. So Jason pops out. He tries to, I guess, defend himself with a screwdriver. But Jason grabbed a screwdriver and stabbed him in the throat with it. Super fun way to die, I'm sure. He hung Chewie's corpse up from the shed ceiling. So after he kills Chewie, he went back up to the house, turned the power off because, every killer has to have total darkness. I don't know why he did that. I don't know if it was like because he didn't want them to see his face, even though he had that hockey mask on. Maybe he just preferred to be in the dark because of his physical deformities.
Yes, and maybe, I mean, the fact of him wearing a mask to begin with is because of that, right? So he's got insecurities for sure. So maybe he just likes to be seen as little as possible.
You can't help but kind of feel bad for the guy. I mean, he's had a really fucked up life.
Yeah, I
Although, I
mean,
mean, well, it's been very isolated, because before his mom was killed, that's all he knew.
yeah.
And then he was, I think, like 11 when he supposedly drowned and ended up not being able to find his way back to her or whatever. And
I
11-year-old
mean,
having to figure
yeah.
shit out by yourself, that's crazy.
Right. I mean, you look at it, he was isolated, then he was bullied, then he almost died, then he saw his mother get decapitated, and well, before that and after that, he's living in isolation, having to learn survival skills kind of on his own at that point.
Yeah, I mean, even with mental problems, I mean, that had to, I would say, push him over the
Right.
edge.
And he's already like got learning disabilities, right? He's not like a normal person to begin with, and he's gone through an infinite hell.
I mean, antisocial has definitely got to be one of them,
Yeah, I mean,
personality traits wise.
he's been very ill-equipped for social interactions for sure.
Yeah, which I guess is why he doesn't have any kind of issue with killing people because it's just like, well, he's removing a problem from his land.
Right.
I'm assuming to him, killing a human being who's trespassing on his property, he probably equates to killing an animal that he's going to use for food later. It's just solving a different type of problem, I would imagine.
Right. And I don't think he has any sort of ego. I don't think he has any sort of narcissism. I don't think he's like he wants any sort of limelight anyway. I think he wants to be left the fuck alone. And ultimately, he just wants to take care of his own needs, right? Like, I don't think he has a lot of ill will towards anybody. They just keep all getting in his way.
Like I don't consider, I mean, he technically is a serial killer because he's killed a lot of people, but he doesn't go out looking for people. He just
No.
takes care of people who are trespassing on his property.
Right. Because even if like someone's just like banging their girlfriend in like the random like room in one of these cabins, he sees it as they're stealing my land. They're stealing where I live. They're taking away my home. Right. He's basically like, you have to think, as far as Voorhees goes, he's, even after he becomes an adult, he's still a child, mentally. He's got the mentality of a child, and all he sees is these horrible counselors that probably also in the past participated in bullying him. Not these specific ones, but in his mind, the same ones, right? Like they participated in bullying him. They weren't paying any attention to him when he was drowning. He's crying out for help. Nobody helped him, right? Like, so he doesn't look at people the same way that we do, right? He can't like say, this wasn't the person that hurt me. When he sees someone in the same role as the person that was not there to protect him, it's the exact same person.
I agree with that. So back to the house after he cut the power, Jenna and Clay had returned from his campgrounds, like, where he actually lives and everything, and they're telling people what happened and tell them they need to call the police, which they end up doing. And Lawrence, who was Chewie's best friend, he's like, my boy's been gone for quite a while. I'm gonna go out and look for him. And Clay and them are trying to like tell him don't do it because there's a fucking killer out there. He doesn't listen, so he goes out and tries to find his buddy Chewie. He ends up finding him dead in the shed. So he takes off running, and Jason, again, Master Marksman, picks up an axe, fucking throws it, and launches it in this guy's back, pretty much severing his spinal cord. So he's pretty much dead for the count, although he's still alive and screaming. And Jason allows him to live to see if he can, what I assume, lure the other guys out with his cries, which, Clay and them were like, don't go out there, it's a trap. So that didn't work. Jason just ended up killing him.
I was just gonna say, like, I obviously Clay was smart enough to figure out that that was a trap. But this guy looking for his friend Chewie. These people just told you there's this mass murderer out there in the woods, and your friend was out there in the woods. Like, a rational human being is gonna say either one, oh, murderer out there, my friend out there, my friend's probably dead, so I'm not going out there. Or two,
I
let me at
would.
least get some cops.
Yeah, well, I carry a gun, so I would have had my gun with
Yeah,
me.
but like, if it look, I know you're a brave person, but if there was a serial killer in the woods, you're gonna take your gun and just go out there by yourself.
Probably.
Really think about it.
Okay, let me explain something to you. When I was in high school, it was me and three of my girlfriends, and we were at my friend Ashley's house. And she lives, her neighborhood's very woodsy. There's a lot of woods surrounding her house, but you could still see lights from like neighbors' houses. And one night we were over there, her power went out, and we happened to get up and look, and we're like, okay, well, all the neighbors still have their power, so something's wrong. So guess who they insisted on going outside? That was me. I fucking took a baseball bat and walked around the damn house because they were freaked out. So yeah, that I would be the one to go out and do it. And
I
then I
hear
only
you.
had a baseball bat.
I hear you, but like Jason Voorhees, this is all hindsight, not really stoppable with a gun for the most part. I mean, not easily, right?
Not
Like, you're gonna
easily,
have a struggle. Now, maybe if there's like a Ted Bundy out there, you're like, I could stop that dude with a gun. Because Ted Bundy, I mean, clearly was, I hate saying this, but like skilled at what he did. However, he's picking on people that are weaker than him. He's catching people by surprise. He's not like fighting the biggest dude in the room, right? He's going after women that aren't expecting him to come after them, right? So it's the element of surprise for him. So maybe you could stop that guy with a gun. So maybe this dude's going out into the woods thinking, oh, a killer? This is going to be a normal human being, like a Bundy or a Dahmer. Not that Dahmer was normal, but also Dahmer wasn't the, like, I mean, he was muscular, but he wasn't a big dude. He wasn't like intimidating. Voorhees, as you've said, is like 6'5", 300 pounds of like Crazy.
Yeah. Very
You don't go after
muscular.
him with a gun. But this guy didn't know that.
Apparently not, or just he's so such a good friend, he went to go try to save his buddy.
Hey,
So
I
that'd
love
be
my
my
friends.
mindset.
Jason Voorhees is not going to ever fight me because I won't be there.
Oh God. Well, anyway. So after he kills Lawrence, he climbed up onto the roof and snuck in through a window. He kills Bree by impaling her on a door hook. That had to be so painful. I can't even imagine. And he actually, the cops did show up, like Officer Brack was there. He, after killing Bree, he kills Officer Brack by stabbing him in the eye with a fireplace poker.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's an
Was it
awesome.
heated or was it? It
No, it
doesn't
was
matter.
just regular. Yeah, either way, it's got a pointy end and went in very easily to his eyeball. I'm sure.
Yeah, for it to go in very like eyeballs aren't hard by any means, but
No.
for it to easily go in, it just shows you the strength though, because you're going deep into the head at that point, right? Like it would take some
Well,
pressure.
I mean, I don't know, because I mean, it's just a thin.
Yeah.
Because I mean, think about it. There's really nothing. Because like the Egyptians, when they would embalm people, they would take the brain out
Yeah.
going through the nose cavity.
That's
So there
true.
can't be that. You know, I don't think it would take much
Yeah, you're
to
right. You're
penetrate
right.
the
You're right.
brain through the eye. I know you're grossed out, but you
I'm
know,
grossed out for
we have to
sure.
be rational about this. Oh gosh, that's funny. I mean, not funny, but just this whole conversation is weird. Anyway, so Officer Brack is dead. Clay, Jenna, and Trent, who are the only three left now, they pretty much run the hell out of the house. Jason went after Trent. He followed him to the main road. Trent had actually flagged down a motorist, but before he can hop in the driver's truck, he gets skewered with the machete, and Jason subsequently impales him on one of the several spikes protruding from the back of the dude's truck. Well, the guy who was driving the pickup truck fucking busted out of there. But of course, Trent was on the back of his spikes being drugged the entire way. So Trent's out for the count now. So he's down. Now, Jason, now Clay and Jenna, for some reason, went back down into the tunnels. I'm not sure why, because I would think by now that they would understand that this is kind of where Jason hangs out.
Yeah.
So they went back down to the tunnels, but that's when they discover Whitney, which is good, you know,
Right. I mean,
because.
it's good that they discovered Whitney, but it, like you said, why they went down there is mind-boggling. Look, when you are in a battle with a serial killer and law enforcement comes, and law enforcement is killed by said serial killer,
Yes.
you go home quickly.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. Or somewhere far, far away.
Far away.
Yeah. They did not. They ran back into the tunnels. So anyway, you know, I mean, that's good for Whitney because Clay was able to break her out of her shackles and they take off running down like this other set of tunnels. Well, Whitney went first and then it was Clay and Jenna was behind. Well, Jason, of course, caught up to him. So Jenna gets stabbed through her back. And I think it came out like through her sternum, the machete. So she's down for the count now. So now it's this big chase between Jason and Clay and Whitney. Okay. They were able to, the tunnel that they were in came up through this overturned bus that I guess was hiding the entrance. So they got out of the bus and they ran down to the farm where that guy Donnie had worked. And they went into the barn. Of course, Jason caught up with them. He was fighting with Clay and Jason got injured. Which, you know, congrats to Clay, but Clay set up this bear trap and it like went off on his shoulder. So that's how Jason was slightly, you know, hurt because he has this big ass bear trap on his attached to his shoulder now. And he was actually able, Clay was able to do this because Whitney distracted him disguises Jason's mom, because apparently she had grabbed the sweater that Mrs. Voorhees had been wearing when she was decapitated and put it on and pretended to be Jason. So that kind of right there tells me that Jason's not in a normal state of mind, because this completely different girl is dressing up in a sweater and Jason thinks it's his dead mother.
So that
So
alone tipped you off.
that's what tipped me off.
I mean,
Before it was
not
all
the whole
just,
having this girl chained in this like lair, and
I thought everybody
or when
did
he was
that.
putting the like mother's head in Alice's refrigerator, or
Don't you do that on weekends to just fool around with people?
I mean, I don't have a head to do that with,
Oh, well,
or I'd
I
be
can leave you one of mine. I've got like
incarcerated.
six or seven, so
Nice.
they're just kind of chilling in my freezer right now. That's not public knowledge because, I don't want to
I'm
have to
pretty sure
loan
the
them to
FBI is on
people.
their way.
Oh my God, that would be so awful if just like law enforcement showed up at my house. I'm like, dude, it was a joke. I was kidding. It's for a podcast. And then they go check my freezer and find the head that I do have in there.
Oh,
But that's just
Lord.
between us. So anyway, back to Jason. This bear trap had this huge chain on it, and Clay was able to wrap the chain around Jason's neck a little bit, and he threw the free end into this wood chipper. So basically, Jason gets dragged back to this wood chipper, and he was pretty much ground up. At least his head was for the most part. So Jason is now dead, hopefully reunited with his mother because he had a rough life, even though he was a killer. Gotta feel sorry for him. But what they did was they, after Whitney actually stabbed him through the heart too, just to make sure. So they took his body and dumped it, that and that locket that Jason had given Whitney that had a picture of his mom in it. They dumped his body and the locket and the mask into Crystal Lake and thought everything was fine and dandy. But the weird thing is that his body has never been found. So,
Yeah, I mean, you would think that after all that, you would get the police to come get this body, but no, these kids, they just toss it in the lake.
that's what they said happened. I mean, maybe they were so traumatized, that's their memory of what they did. Maybe he was just completely ground up into the wood chipper, but nothing was ever said about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, or maybe Jason isn't dead.
I mean, I wouldn't go there.
You wouldn't want to go swim in Crystal Lake?
No. I'm surprised people were skiing out there.
Well, they didn't really know about it, and they are no longer with us today. So just to go over his victims, you have the random people, the random stragglers that nobody really ever reported on. So I don't even have their names that Jason killed just because they were walking in his woods. You've got Alice Hardy, who he stabbed in the head with an ice pick, which that was revenge for killing Mama, so that wasn't because she was trespassing. That was because he killed
Yeah, she
Mrs.
was hunted.
Voorhees, or she killed Mrs. Voorhees.
She was hunted down.
She was. And then there was Wade, who had his ear cut off and was struck in the head with a machete. Amanda, who he put in a sleeping bag and put over the campfire. Mike, who was repeatedly stabbed with a machete from underneath floorboards. Richie, whose leg was the one who got caught in the bear trap, head struck with a machete. Donnie had his throat slit with the machete. Nolan was the incredible shot with the bow and arrow through the head. Chelsea was the one who was stabbed in the head with his machete. Chewy had his throat stabbed with a screwdriver. Lawrence, the axe in the chest that came through his back. Bree was the one who was impaled on mounted deer antlers and then hung on the back of a door hook. Officer Brack was impaled in the eye with a fireplace poker. Trent, he was stabbed with a machete and impaled on a rail spike on the back of a truck. And then Jenna, who was the last of his victims, was stabbed with a machete. Now, as far as I know, there haven't been any killings at the Camp Crystal Lake since all of this happened, thankfully. So maybe he is dead, or maybe he's just really laying low. Don't know. But from what I understand,
Or maybe people are just smart enough not to go there right now.
well, I know that they've built like this big ass fence around the entire property. So I don't know, maybe people really just don't go there. And if he is still alive by some miracle, he's, too old to even really mess around with it, because, he was born in 60. Oh, well, he's not that old. He's actually younger than my mom. So never mind. He's still pretty, he's in his 50s, right?
He's a spry young lad.
Yeah. Yeah, he's still. I have to do math now. Damn it. I hate doing math.
What year was he born?
He was born in 69, so
So 31 would put
53.
2000.
He's 53 years old.
Yeah. 53. Yeah.
God, he's only 8 years older than me.
Yeah.
All right,
He's
so
like
yeah.
75 years older than me.
You're so in your dreams. You're what, a year younger than me?
Something like that. We don't
Oh
talk about numbers here.
gosh. So that is the lovely story of Jason Voorhees and his killings. Although, like I said, I really don't consider him a serial killer, because he was just, I think, in his mind, defending his property and his, way of life.
Yeah, he's still a serial killer.
Well, technically, yes, but not
I
in
mean,
his
'cause
head.
look, it, you can take every serial killer that has ever existed and break down why they did it into some sort of traumatic abuse. So that doesn't mean they're not a serial killer. It means they've been through a lot of shit.
Nuh-uh. Jeffrey Dahmer had a nice upbringing. His parents
Something
weren't
happened to Jeffrey
crazy.
Dahmer. Something happened to Jeffrey
Yeah,
Dahmer.
he was just born he's a psychopath, and he acted on it.
I don't think that's a thing. I don't think you are, can be born
Oh, I think
as
you can
purely
totally
a
born.
killing machine.
Damien was.
Fair
I
enough.
don't know. I mean, I'm not born a killing machine, but there are people who are born psychopaths. Some obviously a lot more violent than others. Jeffrey, I think, just suffered from incredible depression and, loneliness. Because, I mean,
Yeah.
that's why he ate the people, because he wanted to keep them with him forever.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but yeah, just I've seen the thing saying that Dahmer's parents were these good people that were really kind of horrified at what happened, but it's like very hard to believe that there wasn't some sort of abuse, whether it be through grandparents, aunts, uncles, somebody, like, or just a third party outside person somewhere that helped take him from where he was to who he became. Even if it was something that he has mentally blocked out, well, he's no longer alive, but had
Right.
mentally blocked out and never was able to reconnect with. It's just very hard to believe someone was just born with the predisposition to do what he did, because that would be a very scary thing, right? And we've never really, I'm not saying it's never happened. I haven't looked up all the cases in the world of serial killers, but for the most part, that's it's unheard of, right? It's unheard of. Can you think of other cases where they're just like nothing happened, but this guy was this killing machine?
I would have to go back and look.
Right. It's but it's obscure enough that you'd have to look. It's there's just not easily determinable cases where it was like, oh yeah, nothing happened to him, but this is what happened. And I hate that I always have to say him. Yes, there were very few, but there were female serial killers like Eileen Wuornos, and
Yeah.
but men are violent, and it's, I hate that it's the world we live in, but it's instantly like a he. I don't like it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's not a ton of female serial killers, though.
There's
I mean,
not.
you have like a lot of your Angel of Mercy, is that what they call Angel of Death, I guess, nurses and things like that, but
Yeah.
there's not.
Yeah, and you've
I mean, in
got
my mind,
whole
there's only like
stories
a
of people
handful of female serial killers.
slowly poisoning their husbands and things like that. But the violence is more associated with men for the
Well,
most part.
yeah, women usually tend to, well, I mean, even if you think about suicides, women are more opt to taking pills,
Yes.
because there's not a lot of, it's not messy, you
Right.
know.
We've actually been studying that recently in one of my classes, and women are more likely to attempt suicide. However, men are more likely to die, and it's that's that exact reason. Because a
Well, yeah,
man's
because
gonna
they fucking
do
take a
something
gun to
violent.
their heads.
Right. They're gonna do something that's more definite, where like you can overdose on pills and be found and saved, and
Right.
yeah. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's very, very.
it's not often that you hear of a woman committing suicide by shooting herself.
Right. Why do you think there are more male serial killers? And then I'll tell you why I think, because it's probably different than why you guys would
Well,
think.
women tend to be more emotional. We tend to be creatures of emotion as opposed to men who, don't like emotion. Not very
That's.
men like to talk about their emotions and things,
I'm
so.
surprised that you went to emotion, because I was going to say emotion too, but almost the exact reverse of what you're saying, or we're saying the exact same thing. And I'm just, because you're saying that most men don't like to touch their emotions. I would say that women are a lot more overall emotionally mature.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Right. So men can't deal with things like rejection and loneliness and isolation, and women are stronger in those regards.
Yeah, I mean, it's just from watching people in my life who have lost somebody, like men-wise. Men, it's very difficult for them to be alone.
Yeah.
Which, you're an exception because you do live alone, you like to live alone.
Right.
But
So
I
I'd
think
say a
that's
lot of
also
people.
because you're a little bit sensitive and we need our space to
Yeah,
decompress.
well, and for me too, it's like I have struggled in relationships so many times too that it's like my life is just a lot more simple, easier, calmer, and peaceful when I'm alone. I don't like being alone all the time, and sometimes I do miss having someone, but it's like I do like not having to deal with drama. So there's that. But I would say a lot of people would say like serial killers like are more often men because men are more violent. I think that it's completely, I mean, I think that's a factor, but I think it's more completely and better described by the fact that men are just way worse at dealing with emotions.
Yeah, I mean, Jeffrey Dahmer is a great example of that too, His loneliness, he dealt with trying to turn people into zombies so he could control them and they would never leave him. And
Right.
that's obviously an extreme example, but
Right, but it was a maladaptive coping mechanism for dealing with being isolated.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. It
So
wasn't some like hatred of mankind. He actually, in his interviews, expressed a lot of guilt.
But he did actually. Yeah, I was watching something on YouTube about him last night, speaking of it. But I mean, some people argue that it wasn't true remorse. If he was a sociopath or a psychopath, then they're supposedly not capable of feeling
Yeah.
remorse or
And I
love or
did one
emotion.
of his quotes, and I was watching a thing on him yesterday, and he did say that he felt that there was just something wrong with him because as he grew up, he didn't have the normal empathy that most people have. So there was an extent that that was true. However, he seemed to be smart enough to realize that that was a deficiency and that it should have been there and to feel bad about it not being there, which is a little bit deeper than most serial killers get, I think.
Yeah, I would agree to that. But I mean, Jason, I don't he I don't he's just a different ball of wax
Yeah,
altogether
for
because
sure.
he, even coming into the world, he started out with problems. Because he had the hydrocephalus, mental disorders, facial laceration. God, I can't talk today. But and his mother kept him isolated away from everybody for
Yeah.
good reason. I mean, because kids are stupid and they are incredibly mean.
Right.
So, I mean, this poor guy didn't have a chance from birth.
No, not at all. And you could say that maybe he had some sort of feelings or empathy because he's like keeping his mother's head around and keeps seemingly missing his mother. I would almost say he's keeping her head around and seems to be missing her because he needs her approval. And her head is there so she can see everything that he does to know that he's being a good boy. Like, I don't know if it's necessarily so much that he just really misses his mother, or if he needs her around to constantly give him guidance and approval.
Well, that's a very good point, because what mommy said, mommy, went. And I don't know, but I mean, what did he do in the years before His mom was decapitated. I mean, that was years before he was able to get her head or any of her belongings,
Right, it's
you
kind of
know.
like amazing that he was unable to reconnect with her all those years, but somehow stumbles upon her the moment of her death.
Yeah, I mean,
Like,
that's very odd.
very odd, right?
Yeah, it's just a crazy story altogether, and you know, it's a shame that these kids were just in the wrong place at the wrong time, because it's not like he was really hunting them down, except for the Alice girl who decapitated his mom. She's the only one he really did hunt, you know. But that's gonna wrap up our crazy story on Jason Voorhees, and also this finishes out our October series of the weirdest people we've ever come across. And it's kind of sad because October's over almost.
Almost. You still have Halloween coming.
Yes, which, by the way, we have a very special Halloween episode with Sean Austin of Netflix's 28 Days Haunted.
If you guys have not seen that show, by the way, it is, in my opinion, I think Mandy kind of had a different opinion, very dark, very, and it's captivating. I watched it all like straight through, and it's very, I would say it's a good show, and it's addictive for sure. But be prepared for your mind to be in dark places when you watch that show.
I didn't quite take that same look to it. I don't typically watch those kind of shows because a lot of them fake evidence, and I'm a real paranormal investigator, and that bugs the shit out of me. And, you know, the way they portray their investigations is not how a real paranormal investigation goes. It's just not. But this one was actually, it was actually pretty good. I enjoyed watching it. I, like you, sat through the entire thing all in one sitting. I think there's only six episodes or something like that, but it was very captivating. There were a couple people I thought were a little bit over the top,
Yeah.
but and the way they ended it, I thought was ridiculous, but that's okay.
Yeah, and
Sean.
that's fair. And I would say just if these cases were true, these psychics are on point. So it's if
Yeah,
you're into
and Sean
psychics and
is.
stuff, it's amazing, yeah.
I've known Sean for probably 7 years, and he's not one to fake anything. So the shit that you see was genuinely him being him on the show. And but he gives us a really good interview on, you know, what it's like, what it was like to be on the show dealing with, because he's the only one who was put with two people he didn't know. Like, those
Oh,
two guys
really?
were not his team.
I
Yeah.
didn't realize they weren't his team.
Well, the psychic, you know what? I don't know if he said this on. He told me what happened, but I don't know if I was supposed to repeat it or not. But anyway, the two guys, I will say the two guys he was with was not his team. The first time he met them was the day he went to do the filming.
Oh, yeah. And like, I might not want to say this, but I'm gonna like, the dude that was like the cameraman for him was a dick, right? Like, so
I
I
agree,
feel
Nick,
bad that
100%.
Sean
He
got
does.
stuck with
Sean does
them.
talk about that on our in our
Yeah, I
interview,
mean, that
so.
guy was just straight like, what's this dude's problem, right? And like, I think they blamed on the show of like these he's being like influenced by negative spirits, but it's like, no, he's a dick.
Well, you know what? Listen to the interview on Monday at 6 p.m. and you'll get some insight into that, because we do touch on that too.
Yeah.
But it was just a great interview. I love Sean. He's a great guy. He's, you know, a very good paranormal investigator, very good psychic medium. And it was just a lot of fun. And I'm gonna make him come back on our show soon. And yeah, but he's just a cool guy. So watch the show. Tune into our episode on Monday, Halloween at 6 p.m. And as always, if you'd like to get in touch with us, our email is throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram and TikTok at
Spotify.
Abyss Podcast One.
Spotify.
I think TikTok is Abyss Podcast One. I can't remember. But you can find us through the abyss on TikTok. And we've actually been doing a little bit more on TikTok. Ben likes to portray different characters. So be sure to tune into that just to see what the hell he's going to come up with next.
That's not different. Those are actually different people. That's not me.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Ben, we got another episode under our belts. Thanks so much for tuning in to Through the Abyss podcast. And until next time, keep it weird.
Spookly stuff!